Welcome to the Agile Revolution. This is Craig, and with me I have
Tony
and Renee.
And it's really great to have a returning podcast guest, or just, you know, I guess, you know, you're just a one of the revolutionists, really.
Regular.
Regular. Welcome, Adam Weisbart.
Well, thank you so much. I don't think I've ever been called regular before.
But wait. You've been called irregular before?
Wow,
this took a turn very quickly at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah. Adam, you can go to the pharmacy and get things for that non-regularity if you need them.
Actually, I have not left our property in like almost 2 months, so I'm not sure that's true. But
well, I'm sure Amazon or some sort of drone could deliver.
Fair enough.
Prune juice.
Well, thank you for having me back regularly.
Excellent. Well, Adam, a lot has changed since we last caught up with you, and there's so many things we'd love to talk about. We were just joking that I was lucky enough to be in your neck of the woods in Washington State just in February, and I think you before the COVID-19 pandemic hit the world, I think you were the last human that I actually had a meal with. So thank you for that.
Thanks for meeting up. That was good pre-pandemic pizza.
Indeed it was.
And I just learned that Washington State is absolutely nowhere near Washington, which just blew my mind.
Yeah, that is very true. It's true. And if you live here, you generally have to say Washington State, because if you say I live in Washington, people ask you questions about D.C.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, and what's even more confusing is you have a city called Vancouver there too.
It's true.
Yeah, which kind of screwed me up a little bit when I was trying to book a train from there. Anyway,
right.
So, welcome, Adam. Look, lots of cool things going on in your world, but one of the things we really wanted to talk to you about is that because we all can't get together physically, we can get all together virtually, and you've launched a little virtual conference of sorts, I believe.
It is true. On June 1st through 5th, I got a bunch of other great Agilists together and put together Agile Virtual Summit. And so that's coming up here soon. We launched it on Tuesday, on the 5th of May. And I'm super excited. Super, super excited.
So why an Agile Virtual Summit? How did this all kick off?
Yeah, so like everyone else in the entire world, almost 2 months ago, everything changed, and I realized I could not teach my in-person class in person anymore because I apparently could not leave my house. And so I got together with a bunch of other trainers and coaches virtually. I sent a thing out to a mailing list that I'm on with a bunch of trainers and coaches and said, hey, I'm going to run a lean coffee in about an hour. Do it virtually. I'll do it on Zoom. And the point of it is to talk about how to make my class, my in-person class, a virtual class, which I haven't really done much of before, and I got to do it by Tuesday. So if anyone joins me on this call, I'll be great. We'll talk about it. If no one joins me, I'll just leave. And I thought no one would show up. And within an hour, when I tuned in, I had 30 or so people from all over the world. And we had an amazing lean coffee for 2 hours. It was one of the most collaborative, amazing experiences I've had with a bunch of coaches and trainers. And before this, I've been I don't know if against is the right word, but I much prefer, of course, like many Agilists, face-to-face conversation that is not through Zoom. But this was so useful to me, I was really quite moved by the whole thing. And I went and ran my class, and it ended up being quite good, which I was surprised by, honestly, on that Tuesday. And in large part from what I learned from chatting with all these other folks. And so I got actually pretty excited about collaborating with folks virtually and thought, I was thinking about doing a virtual summit at some point, and maybe I should do that soon, because there'll probably never be a better time to get a bunch of people together virtually than right now, unfortunately. And all my favorite conferences and events were being canceled, and I thought other people probably feel pretty bummed out about that too. And it'd be nice to do something that brought some more fun to all of us while we are going through a difficult time. So that's sort of how stuff came about. So I called some of my friends and asked if they were interested in getting together for this virtual summit, and people were equally excited about it. So here we are.
So where can people find the summit online? Is there like a link that people can go to?
Of course, you can go to agilevirtualsummit.com, and if you go there, you can click the button and get a ticket for free. So you can watch the event live for free just by opting in with your email address. We'll send you the program every morning. And there's three speakers a day plus a little bonus session. Most of the days or all of the days, we haven't quite worked that bit out yet, but definitely three great speakers a day. And if you're not able to tune in during the summit, there's other ways to get access to the summit, in the future.
So it looks like you've got a great list of our friends from the Agile community joining in for that, and lots of people we've spoken to on the podcast as well before. You know, people like Lisa Adkins, Jim Benson, Diana Larson, a whole bunch of really good people, and then other people that you and I and others on this podcast know, but maybe some of our listeners maybe haven't heard of that are really great people, like perhaps Trisha Broderick or Chris Lee, those type people. How'd that all come about? I mean, how did you tap those friends on the shoulder and convince them to come along and talk at your little old summit?
Well, you know, it turns out when nobody can go anywhere, tapping people on the shoulder, people are generally relatively free at the moment. I mean, we're all doing stuff virtually, but people's travel schedules were not so much of a problem. So I just got in touch with them and sort of gave them the pitch of like, hey, this is a difficult time for everybody. We're all bummed out that our conferences have been canceled, the things where we like get to go and connect with our friends, with our colleagues. We get to go improve our craft and learn more things. And we don't get to do any of those things clearly this year. And so I basically just put together a list of folks where I was like, if I had a dream event and they were all in North America so that I had less chance of internet connections blowing up during a live conference, who would those folks be? And I reached out to them, and almost everybody I reached out to was super excited about the idea, I think for similar reasons than I was.
Yeah, so are you going to record the sessions as well, Adam? Because I think, these are some really good sessions that you're talking about. And obviously with time differences, it's going to be very hard across different chasms. And we've seen that with a number of them. So is recording an option as well?
There is. So they will be on the site for free registrants the day of the event, and they'll stay up for a little bit. So that we can make up for the time zone difference. Then they will be locked away and you won't get access to them unless you get the upgraded pass, which there is a fee for. So if you can tune in the day of, even if there's a time difference and you can't tune in at 9 a.m. Pacific, you'll still be able to watch it that day. But if you can't get to all 15 of the great sessions and you want to buy a replay pass, you can do that as well. So two ways to watch it if you are not in the same time zone and you don't want to be up in the middle of the night. One is for free and one is for, watch it whenever you like as a replay pass. So we won't leave you out is what I'm saying. You can still watch it if you can't watch it live because you're not in our time zone, since not everybody's in our time zone.
Awesome. I've just registered. I'm super psyched now.
Woohoo! Now we have three people coming to our event. Thank you.
Well, count four because I was in the process. So I'm just the overnight.
Okay. We opened our doors on Tuesday morning, and we have been overwhelmed by how many folks have registered. So we'll see how many people show up. But we got some cool stuff coming up. So between now and then as well, a few surprises, I think.
Well, with our seven listeners, Adam, that'll make another seven, right?
It's true. Well, I'm sorry, six, because I listen, but I'm actually talking now, so I guess.
Well, have you registered, Adam? That's more the point.
Oh, right. I should register.
Excellent. Yeah, there's lots of awesome speakers there, and I was just sort of scanning through some of them. But I mean, it's always hard to pick a favorite. But are there any sort of sessions in there that, as you look through, because people go, oh yeah, I've heard some of those people before. Yeah, aside from your own. are there any awesome sessions that sort of stick out that perhaps people like a must sees that you could tell us about?
I think you got to go to all of them. I picked my friends and mentors. I've picked some folks who, before I was ever a certified Scrum trainer or even anyone knew about me whatsoever, have been my mentors. And then I've picked some, more recent friends. So I wouldn't want to miss any of these things. I don't think I could pick a favorite. That's why I picked these folks. There are a couple things that I am particularly excited about. I wouldn't say they're my favorite, but I tried to pick some stuff outside of like just pure agility. And I think still stuff that definitely helps Agilis and helps all teams. So I'm pretty excited about Amy Bertain and Michelle Johnson's session, which is why diversity, equity, and inclusion matters. I think this is super important to building good teams and especially good organizations. And so they're not directly from the Agile space. They're folks I know. Well, I know Amy from outside the Agile space, but I'm super excited to introduce their stuff to our community because I think that will be super valuable. I found it super valuable.
And I noticed you're talking about retrospectives in your session. Yes. Which, I've always found to be the easier of the ceremonies, ironically, to do distributed. What's your thoughts around, what's the more challenging elements of Agile, given everyone is remote working? And, do you have any tips and tricks for people?
Yeah. I have questions for you, though. So out of all the ceremonies, you feel that one's the easiest. I find it challenging in that I think one of the most important parts when facilitating such things is being able to read a room well and also connect with people when they're having a difficult time, having a conversation or whatnot. Do you have particular tricks that make that your favorite, like one of the easier things for you?
I think what's important for me when you do a distributed retrospective is that whilst people put post-it notes down, I think it's really important that they still do a voiceover of what that means to bring it to life. And that's what helps, people open up a lot more and be really more authentic to, some of the challenges that they're having.
Right. So they're not like relying on the tool to just enter some stuff and then that's that.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to your question for me. I was curious about that. So I wanted to ask. So my tips for doing things remotely, whether it's the daily scrum or retrospective or anything, the first thing I would do is recreate being in the same room using technology as much as possible with like the highest bandwidth option, right? So if you're having your daily scrums and you're doing it via Slack, and even worse than that, you're using the Slack bot that somebody wrote for daily asynchronous daily scrums, you are doing it wrong.
I thought you said when we recreate the atmosphere in real life, that means I've got to go and get a really bad chair and and some bad artwork for the wall.
Yeah, that's it.
You're like you take the method acting approach to.
And the one person who doesn't want to get involved in the corner, right?
Yeah. So yes, there. I think Renee was asking. Yes, there actually is. Someone wrote a little, like, here are the three questions. Just fill in these. Just answer these things, and you're done. So I would recreate being in the same room in terms of you could get the art and stuff. That would be cool. But specifically, being able to see each other, and I would get the team. I get my teams to actually stand up, even though we're sitting at desks remotely. So I would recreate actually having a daily scrum there in person and not rely on the tool. A side note about the daily scrums via Slack or any sort of work via Slack. Did you know that at Slack, you are not allowed to hold a meeting via Slack?
Right.
There's a company policy against it, specifically because it was meant to replace email, not talking with humans, like face-to-face. And so anyone who's using Slack specifically for any of the Scrum meetings and not talking with each other, I would say, well, if you can't do it at Slack, you probably can't do it with Slack at your work.
And yet we do.
And yet we do. Now, I'm not against Slack as a tool, but I just wouldn't use it for any of the meetings, especially virtually, because, you know, it's hard enough to connect with real people in real life.
So one of the things, Adam, is that obviously we're in a pandemic and we can't be together, and one of the cool tools that you came up with a little while ago is an awesome tool called Recess, an awesome pack. And hopefully one day we'll be back in the office and can all go and use that awesome tool again. We haven't spoken to you since that came out. So, my two-part question is, for those who haven't heard about Recess, what is it? But I think the essence of what I'm really trying to ask is, because that's a fun way to do retrospectives, how can you start to use some of those things, that you were trying to introduce in that pack in a more virtual sense?
Yeah. So, let's see. Let me answer the first part. If you live outside of the US, especially if you're in the UK, Recess is an indentation in a wall. Here in the US, it's what you do at a break in grammar school and primary school when you play with your friends. So
so you should have called it morning tea, is it?
Perhaps. I don't know. What is recess in Australia?
Smoko.
It's both.
Okay. All right. That's reasonable. I mean, here in the U.S., a recess is a recess in a wall as well. But at any rate, I just want to clarify that. But I think your real question was, what is my product, Recess? And it is a physical box that shows up once a month when you subscribe to it, that has everything you need for a really engaging retrospective. And the materials in this box are like board game quality materials and art. Have some really great illustrators who have done some just beautiful, fantastic work. And it comes with a playbook. So if you've never facilitated a retrospective before, you're like a new Scrum Master or whatnot, you open up this box and you take out the playbook and you just read out loud from the playbook. It's a script. It tells you what to say and when to pass things out and what the time boxes are for each thing. And each box of Recess is centered around a particular theme. So the first one is Welcome to Hollywood. And then there's one, Mission to Mars. There's Attack of the Zombies, which might be too on the nose at the moment. I'm not sure. There is Expedition. So they all have different themes. And you read the book out loud. And it helps you as a team suspend disbelief for the session of your retrospective so that you can get to more creative solutions to what faces you day to day. So that is the product, and I've had folks outside of the Agile world that I've gotten a box to, and they've used it to facilitate a retrospective, not even knowing what a retrospective was, which was my goal. Like, if I could put myself in a box and have myself show up to facilitate a retrospective for somebody that's never done one before, I would have accomplished what I set out to do, and it has been working well for even folks outside of Agility. The trouble, of course, is that it requires being in the same location and passing paper and such to each other, like, you know, post-it notes and such. So that thing has been paused, and all of that is sitting in a warehouse until people can receive packages again.
Well, we can receive them. We just can't. We just can't sit in the same room and play it. That's the.
It's true.
That's the problem.
True. So. A Recess actually works quite well if there's one or two people who are distributed and then everybody else is in the same location, and they can be sort of the hands of that person virtually. So your question was, how do you recreate that virtually? So a bunch of folks, and in fact some Recess subscribers, have asked if we would convert them to online kits. And we haven't done that yet. Just because we never built it to be that. It was actually specifically to increase like in-person engagement. But I don't know. Maybe in the future we will, given I don't know how long we'll be
I guess the question is that you've always built these things around fun, you know, the retrospective cookies, the all those types of things, sharing a snack, having some fun, asking some questions. So how do you take that funness to an online retrospective?
Yeah. Well, the first thing, whether just to have a good retrospective in general, the key here is to change up how you are doing it every time, right? So if you are doing the same what went well and what didn't go so well retrospective, you automatically are not having a fun retrospective. It might be fun the first time you do it, but it is not fun the 10th time or 20th time you do it. I really recommend crafting a retrospective that is crafted into a story, which frankly takes a bunch of time. Each box of Recess does that, and I've had just great results with that. But if you're not doing that because you simply don't have that much time for each one of your retrospectives, or at least to construct it, just changing up how you're going to go about facilitating, whether it's in person or virtually, is going to help you immensely. I also often prefer retrospectives that are like appreciative inquiry based, things like Remember the Future, where you are picturing where you might be 2 weeks from now if you had the most amazing sprint ever. This helps you break out of sort of, if you're feeling negative when you come into the retrospective, and will automatically just bring more joy into retrospective because you're thinking of happy things, not of things that went horribly wrong this sprint.
I want to briefly touch on something that you mentioned before, which is people using this without necessarily knowing Agile. A bit of a weird side path, but you know, where do you see Agile going? Do you see a lot more people moving away from it as a word and looking towards something else? Like, what do you think the future of it is?
Wow, I have to make some sort of prediction, eh? What do I see?
Just a glass globe in front of you, and if you just have a haggard voice, that would be really good.
No, not Tony. Not Tony's voice.
I feel like this question comes up relatively often. I mean, not just people asking me, right? But it's sort of, what is this next thing? When people describe the next thing to me, it often just sounds like agility to me. I feel like the what are we doing next is stripping away all the stuff that has been piled on top of Agile and is now, you know, for example, you ask lots of people what it means to be Agile, and they'll end up in the first paragraph that they're talking about, it mentioned velocity. I don't think that was
I've never heard anyone say that.
No? No. Honestly?
No, I have to agree with you. I've heard it. And well, it annoys me.
No one. So if you ask somebody, why would you like to be Agile? Let's see. What happens if they don't say the word velocity, but what they say is, I want my teams to go a lot faster.
Mm. Yeah, definitely that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that was ever the reason to be Agile. I mean, that could be an outcome, certainly. But this focus on maybe it's just here in the States. I don't know. People seem to be very focused on hyper-productive teams and sort of all the trappings around that, or ways to measure that, for example, like, I don't know, velocity, as opposed to like what is at the core of agility. So I feel like people that are saying like what is next are trying to get back to something that, I think, where it started. That's, I don't know, been my experience.
And so what do you feel the core of agility is in your own words?
In my own words? Okay, well, not quote the manifesto, but people working together to figure out how to better get their work done and improve their product or outcomes that they are trying to achieve. And doing this in a collaborative way, not one that is like stuck to a particular structure, but a way that just improves their work together. And I guess what I think is, more organizations adopt agile approaches, what they're adopting is a process, not a process, hopefully in the end of helping us get work done, but just really focused on the process. So I feel like when people are saying we should, what is next? They're looking for something that isn't like sticking to this strict process, but rather helping people get their work done.
So interesting enough, just building on a number of things you said there, Adam. So for me, the thing I'm hearing in the Agile community a lot, and as you said, people are, as Agilists, we've always worked face-to-face or room-to-room or, you know, having that access to be able to work with people. This is, and I hate to use that word, the new norm, but I think anybody that thinks that this is going to go away in the next couple of months is probably looking at the pie in the sky. You know, if, like here in Australia, we're talking about 12 months plus before they might even open it up so we can fly out of the country other than New Zealand. So when we look at that and we think about all of those things, and even your recess, what do you think is the next step for us as Agilists in this remote world?
That is a really great question, and I don't know. Since stopping leaving the house, I have been rushing around to, figure out how to teach my class remotely and set up this summit. And past that, I haven't given it a lot of thought. It's a really good question, but I've been in sort of just trying to white-knuckle it through every day here, and I agree with your assessment. Like, I don't think, it's not like at some date in the near future, we're all going to be back to normal. It's going to be quite a while. So it's a great question. I don't know.
I guess taking on that, to me, this feels like, for you, you teach a lot of Scrum classes, all the things that you've been teaching for years, this has to be the golden opportunity, right?
In what way?
Well, working better and smarter has become essentially more of a valuable asset than ever.
Certainly. I think the first thing that has to happen is the shock of all this has to wear off a tiny bit. I think everyone is just scrambling, right, and just trying to get by with all this stuff. I didn't mention this before, but I don't know. I just thought of it now. One of the things that I so far think is a really good outcome of a horrible situation is that people seem to be understanding that their workmates are real people that have maybe sort of a different way of approaching things when they're not at work. It has been really great to see people in my classes, even though they're virtual, connecting in a way that I haven't actually seen when we're all in the same classroom. Like, we sort of, in the same classroom, we have like our business approach to things. People seem to be connecting more as actual humans. My wife works at Broad Institute. She works from here. It's a joint venture between MIT and Harvard. And she's working, she's a scientist, and she's working with a bunch of other scientists. And in the middle of like serious lab meetings, someone's kid runs in and jumps on their lap while they're in this meeting. It's definitely disruptive, but it's happening to everybody, right? And everybody gets to see and connect in a real way about how we're all actual humans doing work together, as opposed to I am now at work and I'm my work person. And I don't think that's going to go back quickly either. Like, I think we'll be doing this for quite a while, certainly, but I don't think people are going to forget that their workmates are, actual humans with families and lives and things that are important to them. So that seems to be, I've seen that repeated in several different areas now, and I think that is a good outcome of all this, and seems particularly agile to me, right? Connecting with actual individuals you care about and builds empathy and such with them.
Just as a side note to that, I start all of my virtual meetings now saying that there's a no apologies meeting rule here, that if you're interrupted by children, dogs, or just even somebody ringing the bell, just put your hand up and go do what you need to do. No apologies, because we all have to deal with it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
We still have an apologies rule on the podcast. We just apologize for Tony. That hasn't changed.
What this is pick on Tony Day today, Adam. Have you noticed?
Isn't every podcast, I feel like every podcast is like that. And not just
quite. There are times that I get picked on as well, but yeah. This is particularly Tony heavy, which is just interesting.
Renee's enjoying it. Really?
I was just going to say, one of the things, when I had the privilege of sitting in the back of a very small part of your class earlier in the year, your in-person class, and a lot of the Scrum techniques that that you teach, were very much around that collaborative nature of, passing the sticky note and putting things on walls, your classes are, things like build your own Scrum is something that, I've adopted in, some of my workshops, when I've been trying to introduce things in the past. So I'm wondering, as you've been moving to this online world, how do you take that fun plus the teachings of Scrum and bring that into your virtual classes?
Yeah. So when we had to switch to the virtual thing, I was suddenly amazingly jealous of people who teach to a bunch of slides, because I thought all they have to do for their class on Tuesday is just have their slides show up via Zoom. And it's the only time I've ever actually been very jealous of people who teach with a bunch of slides. So what I was looking for and got via this lean coffee that I mentioned was some sort of tool or workspace that would give me the same possibility of interaction. And so there's a couple tools out there. There's Miro, M-I-R-O, and there's another one called Mural. This is very confusing, especially if you're speaking with people that have accents different than yours. But there are two similar tools. Also, it turns out you can do sort of the same thing with like the drawing program in the Google Docs suite. And the thing about these canvases is that when you put an item down on it and you move it, everybody can see you moving it, right? So you're recreating stuff in the same room. And so I actually took Build Your Own Scrum, and which, if you're not familiar with it, the core of it is a worksheet that has all of the elements of Scrum, like the Scrum Master, Product Owner, Sprint Planning, etc. There's icons for each of these. And the activity is to, with your team, build your understanding of the Scrum framework. And we do this generally in person with paper and scissors and glue. And
there's nothing like seeing a bunch of executives with a glue stick and a pair of scissors with their tongue hanging out trying to design a Scrum. It's awesome.
Yeah, it I stumbled upon it sort of in a accidental panic, but it has turned out to be amazingly useful. I think the thing about it is it gets you out of your normal way of thinking or explaining things and externalizes the thing you were trying to explain. So when you're all talking about it, you're pointing at these icons, which somehow ends up just being a little bit magical and sometimes frustrating for folks.
Wait. An accidental panic? I feel I can't let you continue my first question without coming back to that one, because sounds interesting.
Yeah, this is the how I came up with Build Your Own Scrum. I had gotten a job as a coach for an organization. Not a giant organization, but the development part of it was, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 people, something like that. It's been a while. I don't remember. And I had been brought in, and when I first got there, they're like, hey, could you do like 2 hours, teach us the framework? And so I did that. And at the time, I was still using some slides. In fact, I think I used sort of the open source ones that Mike Cohn has on his website on Mountain Goat Software. And I went through them. And I gave my little lecture about Scrum and taught people about Scrum. And I was pretty nervous because I was like new there. But I got through it and it went well and people liked it. And then a couple weeks later, they were like, okay, we're going to do like a workshop day where we actually get people, more understanding of Scrum. And so the night before I was supposed to do this, I came to the conclusion as I was trying to fall asleep that if I ran through those slides again, my new teams would kill me. Because they just saw them like 2 weeks ago, and now I'm going to stand up there and say the same stuff. It's horrible. So I couldn't sleep, and I was trying to figure out what to do, and I was totally nervous. I just got this new job. I didn't want to mess it up. And all of a sudden, I was like, wait, if I just put the icons of, if I made some icons for each of these things, I could give them a sheet and then tell them, hey, you need to build the thing we talked about 2 weeks ago. And so I got out some silly drawing program. It was like Visio or something. I don't know what it was. I can't really draw And I just made some stick figures, and it looks pretty ridiculous. I found the original version of it a while ago and laughed. I called my mentor. It was really late, but he doesn't really sleep very much. So I called Jimmy Fosdick, and I was like, Jimmy, I put this thing together. I'm totally nervous. I can't sleep. I think I'm going to bomb tomorrow. I don't think this is going to work, but look what I made. And I sent it to him. And he looked at it, and there was a pause. And he said, Adam, I hate you. And I said, Jimmy, why do you hate me? I'm freaking out. What are you talking about? And he said, I have been trying to figure out how to teach the Scrum framework for several years now without using any slides. And the night before you're supposed to do it, you put some icons down on a piece of paper. This thing is totally going to work. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know if it is. And it totally worked just by, I think, luck, honestly. And it's continued to work. It's never not worked for me. So that was the panic. I thought I was going to lose my new job and have everybody hate me. And it ended up being a super useful tool. So
that's awesome. Anyway, back to the original question. Thank you. I can now sleep at night knowing that. Back to the original question. How have you taken that online?
Yeah. So I recreated it in this tool called Miro. And I was equally skeptical that this was going to work. So I jumped on the email list that I had mentioned previously. And I said, hey, in an hour, I'm going to be in this Zoom room. Maybe you'll come and test out Build Your Own Scrum with me. And I tried it out, and I was like, wow, that works sort of like it does in person. And then I tried it in my class on that Tuesday, and it worked really, really well. In fact, it worked so well that I was disappointed.
So basically what you're saying is that you had panic the first time, and then you had panic this time because you had to take it online. So really, you work best in panic.
Well, it turns out I'm, yes, that seems true. But I'm panicked a lot of the time, so I do a lot of good work, I guess, is the so it worked really, really well. I still think in person is better. You know, I think my virtual course is very good. I think in person it's better than that. Honestly, I thought it would be substantially worse than in person, and it's not. I think the key is like recreating being in the same room, like I mentioned previously, with all the artifacts as well, right? So if you're doing things on the wall, like post-its or whatnot, do that on the wall. And as Renee pointed out, like do it in a way that you would as if you were in person. You're talking about the item. You're not just putting it on the screen and then assuming everyone will read it. Both of those tools are quite good, or at least they're the best that I have found, and they come close-ish sort of to being in the same room.
And I mean, the game itself is very much focused around Scrum and learning Scrum. Do you think that there's a variant that is out there or that you think's possible to be built around, you know, build your own Agile? So, you know, what does a world look like with Agile principles being built without necessarily having a product owner or a Scrum Master role, for example?
Right. I have not heard of one. I know that the Less folks created one for Build Your Own Less. Someone else built something I'm not remembering based on it as well. So to answer the first part of the question, no, I don't know about one.
Is there a build your own safe? Because that sounds like something you just put your valuables in your in a bank.
No. That's all on one page. You just follow .1, .2, .3.
Yeah, true.
I have not seen a build your own safe, though. I don't know if this is true, but I had been told by a bunch of folks who took the safe course that my bad Scrum Master video, at least several versions ago of Safe,
it's mandatory watching.
My video was in there, which
it was a documentary. No, sorry.
Yeah, oh my God. A myopic.
So.
Yeah.
So it sounds like there's a commercial opportunity for us to build your own Agile.
Yeah, commercial. I don't know, but you could certainly build one, and I would love to hear how it went. my experience with sort of the core of build your own Scrum is that externalizing concepts and having physical items for a team to point at and argue about and move around and discuss leads to really great outcomes, because the conversation now becomes about that piece of paper on the table as opposed to some idea in somebody's head. So it ends up creating collaboration and conversation as opposed to arguments about why my idea is right and yours is incorrect. And this has been repeated whether I've used it for build your own Scrum or different activities. So I don't see any reason why build your own agility or agile would not work as well. So if you try it, let me know.
Sounds great. The other thing I when we did meet up in Seattle earlier in the year was you're a bit of an avid pizza maker, Adam, and I found as we were talking about the lengths that you've gone to do that, it's sort of there was a correlation, I guess, there as to that mindset that of trying to get that that perfect pizza and make things better, and a bit of a correlation to agility. So and good agility. I'm just wondering, tell us a little bit about your pizza making endeavors and why that's sort of become a passion of yours in more recent times.
Sure. Yes, pizza for like the last 4 years I have spent a bunch of time on. So I live on Vashon Island off of Seattle. The island's about the size of Manhattan, but there's no good pizza. And while the island is about the size of Manhattan, it is quite rural. There's only like 10,000 people who live here, so fewer folks. And 4 years ago on Monday, my daughter was born. And when she was born, well, she was born in our car on the way to the hospital. But after she was born, we were back here at home and new parents for the first time. And we were losing our minds from sleeplessness and all the normal things new parents go through. And we had only recently moved to the island, and the only folks we knew on the island were my wife's parents for the most part. And we were just quite isolated and not ever seeing anyone and not sleeping and all that sort of stuff. And I realized that I missed having pizza. There was no good pizza on the island. And I also realized that if I started making pizza, we would probably get more friends. And so I started learning about making pizza specifically. Specifically Neapolitan pizza, because it's my favorite type, and started doing some research and found this place on the interwebs called pizzamaking.com. And I got to say, pizzamaking.com is the nicest place on the entire internet. This is a message board. There's some other resources on it, but it's predominantly a message board. With folks who have been there for I don't know how many years, but they have like 30 or 40,000 posts to their profile. And you can go there and ask any question you like about pizza, even if it's been answered before. They will graciously answer the question, and nobody calls you a newbie or gets mad at you or refers you back to the post a million years ago that was there. They're all exceedingly helpful. And many of them run pizza restaurants. It's all different types of pizzas, et cetera. So I just started reading that thing as much as possible. Got recommendations from there for pizza ovens and such, and started making pizza every week. Yeah, it's been great. Almost every week, I think. And now that we don't leave and I don't travel for work, I've been making it like twice a week, to the point where I have 50-pound bags of a specific flour shipped to me once a year or so, and we just sort of go through that. Though I think I'll have to order more sooner at this rate, probably last half a year at this point. Was your question, how does it relate to agility, or are you just saying it was related in your mind to agility?
Oh, it was related. It was related in my mind, I guess. Yeah, but I guess it's one of the things I find, for example, with a lot of tech people, is things like beer making, pizza making, just appeal to them. And I'm sure many of our listeners have hobbies like that. So when you listen to the passion that you just had then, and when we spoke about pizza, and when I listen to people about their passion about beer making, I just wonder if there's something in that for creatives.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are definitely some parallels in that I make it every week, and so I get to make like incremental improvements to my pizzas, right? If I was making a pizza once a year, it would be a waterfall pizza, I guess. It wouldn't be very good. I think the main thing I like about agility is figuring out how to simplify your work together so that you can have better outcomes. And pizza, especially like Neapolitan pizza, the dough, it's just like a tiny bit of yeast, some water, and some flour, right? And with practice, you can have like really great outcomes. And when you first start, they're kind of okay. Like my first pizza, these pizza ovens get insanely hot for Neapolitan pizza. So they get to like 500 Celsius or 1,000 Fahrenheit. And the first pizza I put in there just literally lit on fire. Like there was it instantly burst into flames, and I singed off some of my eyelashes. Wow. And I've gotten way better since then. My wife had worked really hard at making this like amazing topping for this pizza, the first one I made, and I just all lit on fire. So,
well, continuous improvement, right? Iterative.
Yes, yes, yes. It was only up from there. It was like a sprint where you delivered nothing, and in the retrospective, people let you know how they let you down.
Yeah, and your wife basically. All that time went into building that. We understand.
I know. It was very sad.
That's your product owner wasn't happy, right?
Yeah, well, I think the problem was like the scrum master was a team member and was also the product owner. It wasn't a great scrum team.
The engineer needed some more training.
Excellent.
Yeah. I feel like there's some release train joke about pizza here, but I can't figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things I was going to comment on, though, you're making a lot of pizza. You're spending a lot of time, are you exercising, Adam? I know it's not part of the podcast, but are you exercising? Because I think that's one for all of us while we're in this this situation, because I can see us coming out of this with a couple extra K hanging around.
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, is this an intervention? And secondly, here's the thing. Are we all going to leave here with some extra weight? Probably, and who cares? I figure if we're all, if we're like us and our loved ones are alive, that's a great outcome.
Awesome.
But to answer your question, honestly, before my daughter was born, I would ride my bicycle a couple hundred miles a week. I worked out 6 days a week. I was in great shape. And since my daughter's been born, I don't have time for that, with my travel schedule and all of that. But to your point, about 3 weeks ago, I started doing a little bit of yoga every day, and have successfully done that 6 days a week since I started 3 weeks ago. So I'll probably still be heavier because my wife is like an amazing cook, and I've been making a lot of pizza, though Neapolitan pizza is not really bad for you. But I feel much better. Like I was noticing, so it's my birthday next week. And I was noticing that when I get off the floor after playing with my three-year-old, who would be four next week as well, that I was groaning like an 80-year-old. And I will say the three weeks of yoga so far, just a little bit of yoga every day, I am I'm down to like 60 now instead of 80. I think I'm improving in just 3 weeks.
Wow.
How about you? Are you getting any exercise?
I'm doing Just Dance on the Xbox. It's awesome.
Nice.
I'm lucky, like you, I live on an island, Adam, so I do a lot of paddle boarding, so that's my piece.
I walk to the refrigerator, that works for me.
Yeah. Oh, that works too.
Hey, I want to open a question up to the whole floor, not just to Adam, but in these COVID times, we've been talking about coming back to agility, I'm curious whether anyone's seen evidence that teams who have been doing agile for a while, who have good maturity, there's very little dent in their performance and their effectiveness compared to teams that are having to deal with working remotely for the first time.
I guess, Renee.
The question was specifically not to me, right?
To the floor.
Yes, yes, okay. You weren't waiting on me to speak. Just nobody wanted to speak.
Well, I guess in answer to your, what I fear a little bit is that that honeymoon period of working from home and kids running into the camera and all those type of things, you know, is starting to wear a little thin. I think that may change a little when perhaps you know, children go back to school and things. But you know, there's only so long, I guess, that you can you know, perhaps you know sit at a kitchen table with you know six of your closest housemates or whatever you know family and be productive. So it's going to be interesting because I think for some people this has been you know absolutely fantastic, and for some people you know they're probably itching to get back into an office somewhere.
Yeah, it's interesting. I find you have days, you know, working online really takes it out of you. And I think you've got to refactor everything. So that's an interesting thing as well. I find, you know, I have my flatter days and my more up days. So as we come out of this or we don't come out of this is going to be an interesting thing to see how people recover from that, I guess, is the point.
But I guess I'm not after individual perspectives. I'm after team performance here. So for teams that were doing Agile, has the impact been less to them than teams that haven't been?
I think comes about, I mean, Adam was talking about the tooling before. The teams that had the right equipment to be able to transfer into that or had that discipline for those things, I think have made those leaps very well. I look at some of the teams I have and we've had to do not much because they were either already running distributed, they had the right tooling in place. And then, you know, I talk to other teams or work with other teams where, you know, even silly things like, you know, they would never buy laptops because, you know, people will have to be wedded to desks. And of course, when you try to move home, you can't use that, you know, 15-year-old PC, with a crappy video camera to be effective. Or, you know, their corporate security policy means that they can't use a tool like Miro or Mural. So, you know, people are making do with other things. So that's been the interesting thing to me is that the people who embrace this discipline or tooling wise, you probably have been in a better place.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, the teams I'm working with that were doing Agile, that they've actually coped well. I mean, they still have their up and down days because it's that seclusion piece, so they're missing that real glue. So you've got to try and make that happen for them. Where I see people aren't coping is more in the leadership frame, to be honest.
You hearing things in your class, Adam?
You know, honestly, in my classes so far, it's mainly been people just still sort of in shock of everything. So I have not heard, I haven't really heard different stuff in my class so far. People's concerns about why agility may or may not work or Scrum may or may not work at their organization hasn't really changed.
Interesting.
Yeah. I haven't really seen that change too much in the course, and I haven't done any coaching since being here, so I can't speak to that like with direct teams. This did actually bring up a thought about an article, but it's sort of a tangent, so I'm gonna stop talking and then maybe I'll mention the article if people have.
Well, you go on that tangent if you like.
I'm going on the tangent. So I think Tony mentioned or maybe I just was projecting. Like, it's exhausting to do this virtual thing, especially teaching. You can't read a room, and you're just looking into some glass. And I think this was my question for Renee about retrospectives being easier, one of the easier ceremonies virtually, is that I just find it very hard to connect with folks and be able to read or take my guess as to how they're feeling or how things are coming across. And there's a great article on National Geographic, which I can send to you and you can put in the show notes if you wanted, about why Zoom burnout is a real thing and sort of the psychology behind this. And it was just very relatable. And with everyone I've been talking with, it seems to be the same sort of thing. So great article to check out. And if you are feeling exhausted from being on camera all day with folks, it's not just you. It is almost literally everybody. It is exhausting. And then everybody wants to hang out via Zoom for dinners or whatnot because everyone knows everyone's home, right? So you just have like endless Brady Bunch screens of people getting together for work or whatnot via Zoom, which is tiring.
Absolutely.
I mean,
Absolutely.
Also great. It's great to be able to connect with people during this time, but like, there's only so much of that you can do in a 24-hour period. And I think we've all been doing maybe more, or most of us have been doing more than maybe is wise at the moment.
Absolutely. Adam, we could talk to you for hours, but you have an Agile Virtual Summit to organize and pizza to make. So if people want to know more about you, I mean, firstly, if they want to, I mean, you're still running your awesome classes and all those type of things. Where's the best place to find out that stuff?
Oh yeah. All that stuff is on my website, wisebart.com. That's WEISBART.com. Recess can be found at recesskit.com, even though it's in hibernation at the moment. And then
operators are standing by to send you a kit right now.
They are.
And the steak knives to go with it.
Yep. And I don't think generally knives and retrospectives are the way to go.
Yeah.
And then probably most importantly at the moment, agilevirtualsummit.com. Is where people can go grab their free ticket and connect with awesome Agilists, because we're all stuck in our houses.
Yeah, and the dates for Agile Virtual Summit again?
They are June 1st through 5th.
Excellent. And as you said, whatever that is in your time zone, so there'll be whether you watch it live or close to live.
Yeah, certainly if you can watch it live, I think there'd be a benefit to that. But I wouldn't get up in the middle of the night for it. That sounds tiring.
Yeah, even more Zoom burnout, as we talked about before. Definitely. Excellent. Adam, well, you know the drill at the end of the podcast. We like to end with a little bit of a Viva la Revolution. So, you know, that even though we're all virtual, that hasn't gone away. So would you join us in one of those to see us away?
Of course.
All right, Tony, you're the best at doing the countdown for this.
Are we ready? One, two, three. Viva la revolution. And on the end of it, happy birthday for next week, because I heard that and it didn't slip under my guard, Adam.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. And happy birthday to your beautiful little daughter as well.
Thank you. I will let her know. She'll be happy to hear from y'all.
Excellent. Thanks, Adam. It's been great to talk to you as always.
Thank you so much.